90s, she was kind of a pinup. When she played Catwoman, it was a big deal.
Dangerous Minds. Yeah, she was in that in 1995 when I was born. That's nice.
Yeah. Hello, Addison.
Billy Dukes, we're back again. Just when people thought there wasn't enough to talk about, like that we were done.
We had to kind of tie a bow on it. If nothing else, we had to give the trivia answer. I didn't want people waiting weeks and weeks and weeks to know what this was about and who was the winner and all these things. Like the people, they want to know.
They come back for sure for this trivia part. Absolutely. Yeah. What was it? I don't even remember at this point.
All right. So we got a lot to get to this week, but we won't talk for an extremely long amount of time, I don't think, right? Is that kind of the game plan, or were you really planning on bumping your gums for a little bit?
Yapping? No. This one's short and sweet, tie a bow on it.
I think so. We'll do a few updates on some Yellowstone franchise shows, and then kind of an extended Q&A. But I'll get to trivia first, if you're ready.
You betcha. Let's do it.
All right. For a Y Collection t-shirt at the Taste of Country store, you can check those out at tasteofcountrystore.com, where we're having a 40% up to 40% off flash sale. That's actually lasted for quite a long time, so I'm not sure why we're calling it a flash sale, but
it doesn't matter. 40% off.
Up to 40% off.
Up to.
All right. Robert Patrick played Sheriff McDowell in 1923. He's been in many films, a lot of TV shows, including Terminator 2. However, he has a country music connection. What was his role in a very famous award-winning biopic?
I'd love to know because I didn't know this one.
I was really surprised by how many right answers we got on this one because that was not a big role. But a lot of people knew he played Ray Cash, Johnny Cash's father, and Walk the Line back in 2005-ish or so.
Whoa. Yeah. I like the movie, but I don't remember that.
Gosh, I mean, that was Joaquin Phoenix was in that movie. I think Reese Witherspoon, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, she was.
And then he was the father. I didn't recall that either.
Dang.
But congratulations, Ricky. Ricky was first in this week, and he knew the correct answer. Staff at tasteofcountry.com. Ricky, we'll be in touch, and we'll get you one of those t-shirts.
Let's jump into this last. Do you have any other thoughts on season two of 1923? Should we start there? And then if there's even going to be more to come?
Well, we reviewed it a week ago. And I still feel pretty good about my review. Like time hasn't. I maybe feel less upset about some of the plot holes. And I was never really all that upset. But I'm able to overlook those and just sort of recognize that we were pretty good and entertained for 7 or 8 weeks of our lives. And at its essence, it's like a lover or a husband. Like you just, you pit up with their picadillos and their bad habits and everything, because at the end of the day, they're pretty entertaining. And that, I guess that's kind of where I've settled down.
Okay. That was quite an interesting, how you like decided to bridge that there, but I can't say I understand, but I'll let you have that analogy. The thing that I want to know, it has absolutely nothing to do about season two, but Billy, this has somewhat kept me up at night, is the fact that Julia Schlafer no longer follows Brendan Sklinner on Instagram.
Do we know that they followed each other before?
Well, per TikTok comments they did, but I will say that I personally did not stalk who Julia was following prior to knowing that she was not following him now.
So what's the TikTok Reddit subthread theory about what happened with Julia? Like, give me like the dirtiest theory you saw out there that people were saying might have happened between Julia and Brandon.
That they were romantically involved, which I'm like, well, he's been dating someone, so I don't know about that. But he is now, people are calling him kind of the Glenn Powell of the acting scene. So kind of like he's now the next hot shot, and they're both like the hot men of the acting world right now. And he was on, Brendan was on It Ends With Us with Blake Lively and Justin Baldini
and that whole drama. Yeah.
Well, that whole drama, but that's not where I'm going with this. Of course, it's like that romantic chemistry. And then he's on another movie that's coming out with Sydney Sweeney, which Glenn Powell was Anyone But You. No. Yeah, Anyone But You is the one with Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell. So once again, they're like, ooh, chemistry, romance. And so what I've been seeing is, which I don't agree with this one, is that like maybe they did have something. And then now that the show's over, he is still in love with his current girlfriend and Julia's upset. And so she unfollowed him. That's the deep – that's where I got on TikTok. And then I said, I'm just trying to figure out my own love life, much less Brendan Sklinner's and Julia Schlafer. So I've got to tap out.
So here's the thing. They talked about how they didn't see each other at all during season two of 1923. Like, there was no evidence this past season that they even were in the same season one. Now, if you would have told me they were dating after season one, I would have jumped around right on that train, because that was some pretty convincing chemistry. Season two, you know, I didn't feel it. Maybe two things could have happened. The first probably is that she just was, maybe she was cleaning up her follows, you know, people with like a certain status like to make sure they're following very few people because they don't want to look like they're following 27,000 people. Maybe it was a bit of a follow purge, and maybe she had people who were doing it for her and accidentally unfollowed Brendan Sklinner. Is that possible?
I do like the accidental. So where my brain is going is that there's been controversy right now that Instagram is unfollowing people unintentionally from other people's profiles.
That was my other idea. Yeah.
Justin Bieber, Hailey Bieber, that's been a fiasco as of late. So I'm kind of thinking that it might have been an unintentional follow. I agree with you. I mean, she has 193,000 followers and she's only following 582.
Well, I do feel like he could slide in the top 1,000.
See, that like I feel like, yeah, no, I just checked again.
Is she following other cast members? Is she following Michelle Randolph and Amina Nieves and Darren Mann?
She's well, let me look up the men. Hold on. Keep talking amongst yourself over there.
I don't really
Yeah,
have
Darren
all that
Mann.
Much.
Sorry, I already interrupted you.
good, because I didn't have much to say on the topic. Great.
Darren
a lot of gas
Mann,
on this one.
Yeah, well, that's mainly all I've got for us, because I don't know what other men to Google or to search. Ian Bowen. Like, they can't be really great friends. Yeah, I'm just saying. I think it's interesting. Okay. I wish this had kind of happened when I interviewed her, because I potentially would have asked.
Maybe there was a political. Maybe they disagreed on politics. Brendan is all the way to one side of the political ideology. Maybe Julia is all the way to the other side of the political ideology, and they couldn't handle each other's political hot takes any longer, so they bounced. It happens. That's why Florida Georgia Line quit following each other, right?
I know, but I feel like if that is the – we won't go down this rabbit hole, but I just feel like if that is the baseline – of why you can't be friends.
Right.
Come on. Yeah,
I agree.
There's so much more to someone. Anyways, this is not why we're here on this podcast.
We got sidetracked right off the top.
We did.
We had a tight schedule and we just took a left turn right at the...
Well, I'll get us back on track. Okay, so we ended season two with even the way that the cast talked, also just how season two ended. To me, there is not a season three. Like, there's not a season three. Question mark.
100%. It's done with. And I think cast have even now confirmed that. The reason we thought maybe there would be is because Paramount was sort of dodgy when it came to, we got a little note that said, oh, by the way, we haven't officially said there won't be a season three about a quarter of the way through the season. It's done. 1923 season three is not going to happen. Because why would it? I mean, you would, especially with a show like 1944, supposedly in the wind, there would just be no point, and there's been no cliffhanger or like character introduced to carry that plot forward in the early 1920s.
So, if 1944 actually does happen, who do we like? Do we involve like Brendan Sklinner? Does Michelle Randolph? You know, like who are we carrying into the cast from 1923?
So I'm not sure that there's more information, more misinformation about any Yellowstone franchise topic than 1944, which is all we really know is we have an unverified report that this show is happening from some trusted sources. Okay, so I trust that the report came from a legitimate source, but no one's put a name to it. There is no cast. There is no trailer. So if you see a next film video that says 1944 trailer, there is no trailer. There is no potential air date. There's no filming date. Like, there is nothing out there about this. The only little granule of truth we have is that unconfirmed report. And Brendan Sklenner said that he has heard 1944 is happening and he would love to be a part of it. He doesn't want to say goodbye to Spencer. If they want him for it, they said they could age him up a little bit. He put a little gravel in his voice and he would gladly play Spencer Dutton again. That's all there is about 1944. And given what we know about like how these shows kind of, we get introduced to them and then they're kind of yanked out from under us, like, protect your heart, peoples. Like, don't bet on it. This could be another 4-6s.
Yeah, it's exactly like the 4-6s where like you'll hear Jefferson White or like you'll hear people kind of talk about it and then you get your hopes up. And then, I mean, we're 2 years post that conversation at this point. Yes. And I don't think that's for sure not keeping me up at night.
I did a video on Monday that kind of outlined three reasons why we shouldn't go all the way in. And the first is because Taylor Sheridan has so many shows going, he may just not have the time for it.
Okay.
The second is just what we've talked about. We've been here before, mm-hmm. you know. And the third is there's this sale. Paramount is being sold to Skydance. New bosses could have new priorities, new budgets. Maybe this show just is delayed long enough until Taylor is out of his contract and then it never ends up getting made. Like, that is a... If I had to bet, I would say, yes, we're probably going to see it, but I would, you know, 2-1 odds.
Yeah, there's nothing in the can to get our hopes
exactly.
up.
Exactly. So, I don't know. Guard yourselves, people.
Guard your hearts. If I've learned anything about Taylor Sheridan.
Yes.
Guard
we
those
just
hearts.
Went through Elsa and Alex. Like, we don't need to, like, get all bothered. Yeah, I'm getting...
You worked up.
I am getting fired up.
Well, there's the Madison that is happening.
Yes.
Okay. Like, that one's happening, right?
Yes. And the source for this, and I forget the woman's name, but she was one of the executive producers for season 5 of Yellowstone. Christine Voros, I believe. She was a director of a lot of season 5 of Yellowstone. And she told Variety or Deadline that right as soon as Yellowstone was done, she was hopping and she was going to work on production for The Madison. And this show is kind of interesting because it's like a New York family moves to the Montana area, very close to where the Duttons lived. It's played, Michelle Pfeiffer is the woman's name. And she's really the biggest star in this show. I've seen things where it's already filmed and it could come later this year. Paramount, of course, hasn't commented on any of that, but that's the rumor. I mean, it's got a Wikipedia page with a lot of different sort of links and sources and stuff. So it feels pretty well rounded out, although details are pretty thin on the Madison.
I was trying to remember why I knew Michelle Pfeiffer.
Oh, she's been in a lot of things. She was the original Catwoman with Michael Keaton's Batman. And then she was in...
a lot of things.
What's the movie that has Gangster's Paradise in the song? Dangerous Minds? Is that right? You know the song Gangster's Paradise?
No.
Living in a gangster's paradise.
I don't know what I actually know her from. Oh, she's in Grease 2?
Okay. Going back a little. Sorry. A little bit there.
I do know her. Sorry. I do know her face. I'm deep in her Wikipedia page.
Back in the 90s, she was kind of like she was kind of a pinup. When she played Catwoman, it was a big deal. It was she had a lot of sex appeal with that role. She's
Did you
kind
say
of
Dangerous Minds? Is that what you said earlier? Yeah. Yeah, she was in that in 1995 when I was born. That's nice.
Yeah, well. I was just getting ready to go into an anecdote about how I used to just cruise up and down Eureka. Listening to Gangster's Paradise.
Continue.
My friends Paul and Tommy, and like that was our jam when we were like 16. And you're like, well, yeah, that was the year I was born. Delightful.
Okay, continue. Enough.
Yeah, Michelle Pfeiffer, and then someone from a TV show called Suits, which I have not watched. Patrick Adams was on USA Network. I have not watched that show, but he was the star of that show. He's rumored to be in this show called The Madison as well. My feeling is it could kind of have like the perspective of like an outsider coming into the Montana Valley. Maybe we'll get that perspective, but I really don't know what it's going to be about.
And there's no air date?
None.
Okay, no. I was also about to look that up.
Yeah, no. Common thinking is later this year.
That one at least is in production. The next one that I want to talk about that is also one that I kind of don't think is going to happen is the Rip and Beth spinoff.
Feels pretty flimsy, doesn't it?
Yeah, like I don't know.
I don't know what that show's about. Mm. And just how they kind of moved off the Yellowstone Ranch. They kind of moved off to get away from everything. So it kind of feels like what sort of, I don't know. I don't see them out there kind of getting in trouble or making trouble or things like that. Like, mm-hmm. It seemed like a great idea at the end of the show, but the further I get away from Yellowstone, the less and less excited I am about a show focused on just Beth and Rip. I could be wrong, but there has not, much like some of the others, there has not been any confirmed details about Beth and Rip's show.
And then on our production notes, and this is one where I think I might have hit snooze or maybe I was doing something else. Is there rumblings that there's going to be a Casey show?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, Addison. CBS procedural based on Casey Dutton's life, and it would be on, you know, kind of a weekly show that you kind of plug into and tap out on, and it would rely heavily on his Navy SEAL background. Again, this is just in the rumor category, the well-reported rumor category, but presumably that would involve Kelsey Asbill, Brecken Merrill, maybe even a little Thomas Rainwater, Gil Birmingham, you know.
Can
a lot of possibilities there.
Can I say something? Actually, I don't even know why I'm asking you. I'm going to say it. This seems boring. Like, I don't want to watch that.
I'm okay with it. I'm actually kind of more excited about this one than I am the Beth and Rip one as a CBS show. Because I watch a lot of CBS programming for one reason or another. There's a show called Tracker with Justin Hartley.
Yes, I do like that one.
Uh-huh. That show puts me right to sleep.
Oh, okay.
There is like two cast members, and I understand Justin Hartley, very good looking man, and he does kind of some cool things, but like there's nothing else going on. And I think that Casey Dutton can fill that slot quite easily.
I will say I haven't seen, like, I couldn't even fully tell you what the premise of Tracker is at this point. I think it's been out for a minute. I think I watched it when it first came out. Like, I might need to add it to my rotation of things to watch again because I'm on to the Kardashians at this point, and I think that means I've hit rock bottom. I don't actually fully remember the whole premise of Tracker.
He goes and finds people missing.
Okay, great.
He tracks them. It's not the most poetically named show. He's a tracker who tracks people. That's
bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah, I mean.
Then the last show that we have, hypothetically speaking, is Four Sixes, and that one I just don't think is going to happen.
Yeah, Taylor Sheridan's all but said that one's dead because he doesn't want to disrupt the lives of people who are actually working on the Four Sixes with a TV show based on it. So I think probably that one is done. They might use that ranch to film some of these others, but that I don't see coming in the near future.
Mm-hmm.
Whew, that's a lot of them, right? So one confirmed out of
six.
Five or six.
No, yeah. So we have the season 3 of 1923, 1944, right. The Madison, Beth and Rip, Casey, and then Four Sixes. So actually, yeah, that's six.
There was also chit chat of another Bass Reeves show, but I haven't really heard anything there in a long time. So I don't think that's going to happen. But Taylor's he's got so many other shows, right? And a lot of them are really good. Landman, we really like. Tulsa King suffered in season 2, but maybe that can bounce back. Lioness is still a fantastic show. I never watched Mayor of Kingston, but Sterling Whitaker, our coworker, tells me it's very good. So there's other non-Yellowstone shows
Alrighty. Well, I have a lot of Q&A for us today, actually.
Good. Yeah, we wanted to wrap up the season with just like unloading a lot of questions and answers. So I've actually read some of these, and I think they're kind of fun and a little different. So mm-hmm. I'm excited to answer them. Hit me. Who's up first today?
Sarah, who says, hi, I love your podcast, but it's so annoying that you write spoilers in the episode titles, sometimes pretty major ones, Billy Dukes.
I'm pretty sure Sarah is referring to the audio version of the podcast, because I don't really think we do that so much in the video recaps. Mm-hmm. It's such a fine line, a narrow target with headlines and titles, because in the world we live in, if you don't have something that is enticing to get people in the door, and people just won't be interested. Have I crossed that line on occasion? I'm looking back through some recent titles. The one was, did Alex really need to go? Does that reveal that she died at the end?
No.
I think that would be one that would, Sarah would argue probably. And then some other ones.
It's hard to, my hot take is once a show, because we also cover Farmer Wants a Wife, and I've felt similar kind of feedback of like, oh, this is a spoiler, but it's like 2 weeks after the episode's aired. And I'm like, sorry, at that point, like,
no,
we are not spoiling anything. Like, you had 2 weeks to watch it, or even a week. Honestly, I'm going to give you 48 hours.
With the network show, especially. Now, I understand shows like 1923. It's a streamer. People stream at different times. Maybe a little bit more time, but eventually the world moves on here. You got to either catch up. You can't ask the entire media sort of business to not spoil your fun. But I don't think that's what she's saying so much. I think she's saying more, it gets updated and boom, she sees what's happened before she's had a chance to watch. And to your point, Sarah, I'm very sensitive to that and I do my best not to do it. I apologize if I have once or twice, but just understand it's just such a narrow target to get that right. And you got to do it all within like 65 characters to be really effective. I mean, mistakes get made.
Yeah. It's more complicated than what meets the eye.
Yeah.
The next one is from Justin, and he actually has two for us, but the first one says, I would not be surprised if Elizabeth's child that is raised back east is somehow connected to the main character in Madison. Hence part of the reason the family moves.
Okay. So one of Michelle Pfeiffer's grandpa or father is this child in Elizabeth's baby? Is she going to Boston or is she going to California? I can't recall where she's headed.
Oh, gosh. I just don't – where was home? I don't remember.
I think she was from the East Coast. At least that's where she went for school.
I would say Boston then if I'm having to pick two. I'd pick one of the two.
Okay. It's a theory. I mean, tie in the show to the Madison. Again, I'm not sure that the Madison has anything to do with the Yellowstone universe, but it could. I see you thinking, Justin. I appreciate it.
Okay. The second one from Justin is, Elsa says the widow and Spencer have a son, and one day she was gone, meaning the widow. She didn't say left, but gone as in possibly passed away. Plus, his new son could have been killed in World War II, and his mother could be Patience Dutton.
I like you. Now I'm even on Addison's side with this one, because I like you up to the Patience Dutton part. Like, that's all possible, because she didn't say left. The widow could have died, right? That's a possibility, and an interesting possibility, right? Because that could drive the plot of 1944, the widow's death, much like Taylor Sheridan likes to do, where he tells us how it's going to end before it begins. Like, that would work. The Patience Dutton one does not work, because if the baby's mother, the widow's name was Patience Dutton and Spencer never married her, he would have had a kid with his cousin or with his sister. I mean, you see what I'm getting at there? Like, if she's already a Dutton, that gets a little squeaky territory. So let's forget about Patience, just for Addison's sanity, if nothing else.
I know. The other part is valid. And I do want to clarify, that Justin, my groan was not for you. My groan was just, I sometimes, this web of a family tree and trying to figure out where everyone belongs just exhausts me. It's nothing personal to you at all.
This is a pretty family tree-less episode, I think, if we do it right. I'm making an effort, Addison, not to go there.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm going to go on to the next one before you can keep talking.
Okay.
It's from Rodney, who says, they did not mention any more about Elizabeth being pregnant. That may also be another story or plot line later on. In terms of the train coming by the car, I believe back then most main roads tended to run in parallel with the train lines, at least when you started to get further out west in the early days. So let's touch on the first part about Elizabeth being pregnant and that them not touching on that could end up being a plot.
Do you in your heart think that Elizabeth or Elizabeth's baby is somehow going to come back into the Dutton world?
I do because I thought it was so weird how that ended. But then also, I mean, there is a small part of me that I'm like, Darren Mann also kind of, his Jack dying was also anticlimactic. So I'm like, maybe they were just tired and needed to wrap this thing up. But the only reason why I like hold a little bit to that is Michelle, when I talked to her, it just sounded like she was working on something else with similar, not producers, but people who've been a part of 1923 that made me think like maybe there's something else, but that, sure. That literally could mean so they all work in the Paramount world. It'd be like a freelancer producer who also works on 8 million right. other things. So that doesn't really mean a lot, but I have a little bit of hope there.
I do not. If I had to guess, I would say I do not think she's coming back based on what you just said about, you know, there was other details that wrapped up so quickly.
Yeah.
It just seems to be how things worked to end this series.
Yeah. I don't know. The second part where Rodney was saying that back in the day, I don't disagree. Yes. The train lines ran parallel to the road. I just don't think the timing is realistic that
right.
there happened to be Alex on the side just as the other train was going by. I don't think like the logistics of where the train tracks and the road were, I don't have a problem with that. It just is the coincidence of the timing.
I agree. I agree with you there. I know a lot of roads. There's one right here through, I live in Murfreesboro. There's one right through town that's right along a train track. And it runs parallel to a major highway, too. I think that's just kind of how roads were designed once upon a time.
Next one is from Kimberly, who says, why did Taylor Sheridan make Alex go through all that crap just to die shortly after being reunited with Spencer? We did not have enough screen time of them together. It seems like she could have been saved once she gave birth to her son. The baby did, well, the second part is the baby did not look real. It looked like a doll, a puppet, or an animatronic. Who is going to take care of the baby? Well, Kimberly, I also, on, I guess, two episodes ago, I agreed. I was like, I don't think she needed to die. I think the whole reason why she ultimately died is because she didn't want to be an amputee, which that also felt really selfish. And I went on a whole soapbox about it, which I won't hear. I do think she could have still lived. She would have been an amputee, but.
The baby, Spencer, Brandon Sklenner and Julia Schlafer talked a little bit about the baby, and it was actually, in a number of scenes, it was a robot.
I know, which I was humbled because I told Billy it was all AI.
Thought it was all computer generated.
Mm-hmm.
It was an odd looking little baby.
Which it makes it even more weird now that I'm like, oh, it was a robot.
It reminded me of, and again, this is going to date me, but there was a video. Do you remember the song Tub Thumpin' by Chumbawamba?
Billy, if you don't want to sound old, you shouldn't play these games with me. Like, you're doing it to yourself.
You would recognize the song Tub Thump. I get knocked down, but I get up again.
Yeah, I
want to get me down. That's called Tub Thumpin' by the band Chumbawamba. Well, they had a video where there was a dancing baby somewhere. This is like early meme world, or maybe it was even the official music video. I don't recall, but there was this baby. And that's what the baby reminded me of, was this Chumbawamba dancing baby from 1998 or 99.
Well, and to answer a question about who's going to take care of the baby, how I felt like season two ended was Kara was, and they're going to feed the baby via goat milk.
Okay, but Kara's only got so much life in her. She's in her 80s. That baby's going to be 5 or 6, and then who's going to... Spencer seemed to have no interest in taking care of a child.
I know. I do agree with that, but he's got to man up because then that's our only other option.
That's why he went widow hunting.
That's why he went widow hunting.
So I gotta maybe Zane's wife's gonna kind of step up. That's a reasonable guess, I guess. But
that's too much in the weeds.
Yeah, fair.
I have a few more for us. The next one's from Matthew, who says Spencer was a one woman man, and that got reflected in the closing scene for him, as it was for me. He simply closed down emotionally and never really open up again for a relationship. Yes, it's mentioned that he had a son with a widow, but never married her. Alex was the love of his life that would never change. I am the same way and loved a woman that deeply who could not return it. In my case, an opportunity never presented itself again, and I'm now the living embodiment of the song Goodbye to Love by the Carpenters.
What a sad, touching email from Matthew. And it was a little bit longer than that, but he really shared how his story aligned with, or he saw himself in Spencer post-Alex. I guess you never really think that people are going to relate to a 1920s show in that kind of way, but human experiences are human experiences, right? Like, you can find yourself a little bit. I don't think I related to much of what they went through on a personal level.
There's miscarriages, part of 1923. There's... Okay. You know, a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, miscarriages, the death of a parent, maybe. Mm-hmm. If people lost a parent, they maybe could see. That's an interesting perspective. Like, if someone had lost a parent, if they saw things in characters like Elizabeth or Spencer that sort of rang true to their experience. Mm-hmm. I'd be curious if Taylor Sheridan was able to hit sort of those levels. Maybe. He's a pretty good writer. So when he's good, he's really good. I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case, but email me, staff@tastefcountry.com. I'd love to know that if you lost a parent at a young age or grew up without your mom and or dad for one reason or another.
The next one I have for us, two more. The next one is Tracy, who says, "Hey, Billy," this one's specifically for you. After listening to this clip several times, Elsa's monologue at the end, could it be possible that the widow is Elizabeth Dutton? It says the widow left, but nothing about the baby. Quote, they made. Just a thought.
So the idea being that the baby stays. The widow left, the baby stays.
Yeah.
I'm struggling with Spencer and Elizabeth hooking up for another baby. Like, I feel like his loyalty to his family, his brother and his nephew, would be too strong. That would be a weird romantic. And Elizabeth just doesn't seem like Spencer's kind of girl, does she?
No. And I just feel weird about that.
Yeah, it feels... And I know she's not much younger than Alex was, but she seems a lot younger than Alex was.
She doesn't... She's not as much of a spitfire personality that Spencer needs.
A little immature, too.
Yeah.
Elizabeth. Good question, though. A lot of people, that's the most popular theory out there on the web, is that Elizabeth is the widow.
Oh.
I'm not a believer in it, but a lot of people have suggested that.
That just makes me queasy.
What are you doing right now?
Me?
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of weird eye.
I said that makes me queasy, and it also doesn't help. I do have something in my eye, but that's a side note. I just said that makes me queasy, and then I made the face.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. Moving on to the last question.
Cameras are rolling here, Addison.
I forget people will watch this. John Barker, 6572, says, "I think it's interesting in a good way for a change where actresses actually have armpit hair in their scenes." This is such an interesting question. Okay. "Nothing bugs me more than seeing a supposed woman in the era with waxed armpits. I applaud Taylor Sheridan for making his films realistic to the time frame."
Go on.
I mean, I hear you. And did I notice that? Yes.
How could you not?
No, I noticed it. But did I sit there and say, really glad that that is spot on to the times? No.
There were other things, in my opinion, like if I was to make a top 10 reasons I appreciated the historical accuracy, I don't know if that would make the top 10.
But liked the technology portion of it. Like, show me that the telephone is starting to come in. Right. Washers and dryers. A washer, not a dryer. Washers are coming in. Armpit hair?
There was that funny scene. You remember it in season one? It was when Kara and Jacob were at the hotel. They had that sort of night out. And Kara says to Jacob, oh, the girls are shaving their armpits now. Next, they'll be shaving their legs.
I don't remember
that. She's like thinking it's crazy. He's like, oh.
This mind-blowing thing.
Nailed that one, Kara. I gotta be honest. Yeah, I suppose I appreciate the accuracy there, too. If Tiona raised her hand and she had shaved pits, it would be a little strange.
You're not wrong. But that's all I'd like to talk about on this topic.
I do wonder, though, like if they ever had to like add armpit hair just to really add the effect. You know what I mean? Like if someone couldn't naturally grow armpit hair after not shaving for a couple months, you know, like some men can't grow a beard.
Wait, but they might. Ah, man. Honestly, I wish I had asked that.
Yeah, next time. We need to get Julia back for just 10 minutes of nonsense questions.
Yeah, like not like serious, this. Just like that.
Yeah.
We'll work on it.
All right, well, she listens, you know where to find us. We'll take you. Well, I mean, we'll make some time for you.
Staff at taysofcundra.com.
That's the one.
Yeah. Cheers. Well, that's all I have for us.
All right. Well, that kind of wraps up our season, I guess. As soon as there's news, I guess, of significance, we'll come back for the podcast. We might continue with some video specials on the YouTube channel. I'm kind of just seeing what kind of interest there is. Mm-hmm. And if people are still enjoying kind of the conversation on YouTube and there's new things I can sort of present, then we'll do it that way. But we'll pause on the podcast for a short bit. Hopefully only till summer. Maybe the Madison can kind of get rolling. Yeah. I'd hate if it's till fall, but if it is, it is. We'll find some other reason to yap at people.
We enjoy doing this and it's been fun having, I just appreciate that people comment, that they leave emails, and it's definitely been a fan participant podcast.
Are you teasing?
That is how I wanted to end it, yeah.
With your clothes? You kind of blew it.
I know I did, but I just felt really passionate about it. And then I just was going to use it and then not say anything at the end.
Go ahead.
Y'all, the Dutton Rules 1923 podcast is another fan participant Townsend Media.